Robin McKelvey encourages moms to learn from the best.
Facebook is not a place to get wisdom on raising children. We got to get in God's Word. It says older women train and teach these younger women not only to love their husbands, but what? To love their children.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, co-author of Seeking Him. For September 27th, 2024, I'm Dana Gresh. Over the last few weeks, we've been walking through Titus 2 together, and I have found it refreshing. I hope you have too. Now, if you missed any episodes in this series, you can hear them all on the Revive Our Hearts app. That's my choice. I walk with it almost every day, or at reviveourhearts.com. Today, we come to the phrase in Titus 2 that exhorts women to love their children. My friend Robin McKelvey is going to show us what this verse looks like in her life. Now, much of what you're going to hear is about what her life looked like before she suffered several strokes. Robin is bravely recovering from them, along with the help of her husband, and we ask you to pray for Robin and Ray and their family. Now, just before she delivered this message, her husband, Ray, decided to slip into the front row and ask Nancy if he could give a surprise introduction. And here's what he said when he got on stage.
I'm so glad that Nancy asked me to talk about motherhood this morning. We're going to talk about submission. And no, actually, I want you to sit down. I want to introduce you.
Look at that time.
Okay, I won't take your time, I promise. I have to tell you this story. Robin mentioned that we were married May 28th, 1988. And it was not too long after we were married, maybe just a few days or so, my wife caught a really bad cold. And you'd have to know that Robin had never been the kind of person that I had ever seen sick before. And so I decided to go and get her the best cold medicine I could find. And so I read the ingredients and brought it home to her. And she said to me, she says, you know what? I better not take this cold medicine. I could be pregnant. And I'm thinking, well, we've only been married a few days. I'm sure that that's not the case. And 9 months later, Rachel was born. And when Rachel was about 5 months old, Robin caught another cold. And his name is Ray. And when Ray was about 5 months old, Robin caught another cold, and his name is Ross. And when Ross was about 5 months old, Robin caught another cold, and his name is Ryan. And since then, she's caught several other colds. Renee, Reagan, Raven, Risa, Ryland, and she has a cold now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. Sarah and Abraham. No.
That's what it would be.
No. That's up to Nancy and Robert. But anyway, I did. Okay, I'm done. I just wanted to say, meet the lady with all the colds. Would you welcome her?
You're staying home next time. That's so unfair. He gets all the laughters. I just had to bear them children. I'm not going to do all the introduction because I didn't know that was going to happen. Thank you, Ray, for introducing me and all the kids. But I do want to tell you this. There was a time when Ray and I got married, I went right back to work, and I was a career woman. And I loved the career that I had, supervising computer operations and programming. And I mean, I loved it, and there was a great paycheck attached every 2 weeks, and it was phenomenal. But when I started having all those colds, And I'm going to tell you about even the colds that aren't here on earth, but God had a heavenly purpose for. But when I started having all those colds, I began to realize that this was a greater responsibility. And so my career choice had to change. And so I made coming home to be a mom my career. And it was more a greater responsibility, but there was no paycheck, and there was this big void. It wasn't easy to do that, but I wanted to be a woman of the Word. So I went back to God's Word to find out what He said about children. And our life verse just happens to be Psalm 127, the entire chapter. But I'm going to start with verse 3. And it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." Why don't you read this with me? Let's do it from verse 3 right now. "Behold, children..." It's not up there? Okay, then I'll read it, okay? Because I want it in one version. I'm sorry, I thought it was up there. Is it up there? Okay, cool. Let's start again. Let's read it. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is pulled. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." And so one of the things that I had to realize was that our culture no longer values motherhood because our culture no longer values children. Can I get an amen on that? Our culture thinks that, you know, our assets are our paycheck and all the stuff we can accumulate. But God has a different idea of what's important. And He said, we got to realize, number one, that children are gifts. And when God gives a gift, you can bet your bottom dollar is going to be pretty phenomenal, right? And so not just our children, my children gift. He didn't call out and say, "Your children," in His Word, "Your children are a gift." He said, "Children are a gift." And children are a gift, and they might not be, convenient when the gift is given, but all children are a gift from God. That means that children born out of wedlock are gifts. That means children in orphanages, foster care homes, children in single parent homes, stepchildren, abused or neglected children, grandchildren, great grandchildren, nieces, nephews, special needs kids, disability, children with disabilities, students, your neighborhood kids, even children that you lose to miscarriage or born stillborn, they are gifts from God. And we've got to see God's perspective on this. And so if you realize, or if you're involved in nurturing at a time in your life, this is your time for nurturing, you have to be available to see these kids as God sees them, and they're an inheritance from God. When I read Nancy's book, I was quite shocked that somebody would say, if God's going to give me an inheritance, I want all that He's going to give me, because that was me. I'm like, I ain't doing that birth control thing. Because if God wants to give me inheritance, think about it. If it was $1 million, I'd take as much as I could get. But children are an inheritance from the Lord, and they're worth so much more. When God gives us anything, He gives us exceeding abundantly above what we could ever ask or imagine. And so when He gives us children, think about it. God chose to save the world, and what did He send? He sent His Son, a baby, to come and make it where we could have life, and we could have life more abundantly. And one thing about gifts that anybody gives to you, gifts should bring joy. Am I not correct on that? Gifts should bring joy. So in Matthew 18, 1 through 4, at the time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to Him a child, that He had placed in the midst of them, He said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." One of the things, we got to see children the way God sees them. And one thing about kids, they're carefree. They totally believe their father. And that's the same way the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be carefree, totally believing He's got it. And so if we can look at that life of a child in the heart of the child and become like that, we enter the kingdom of heaven. It's a beautiful thing. So one of the things that we have to do is we have to enjoy our children. And you can go to any of my kids. Matter of fact, I got three of them right here. And you can ask them, what are some of the things that your mom did to enjoy you? And they will tell you about this thing that we've done for years called the mommy dance. Okay, the mommy dance. We got to enjoy our kids. And there's so much going on. We're so eager to make sure we have good kids. A lot of times we want to have good kids so it looks good to us. But I want to have kids that enjoy life because I want them to see this beauty that God created. And so we do the thing called the mommy dance. I dance with them. I sing with them. Thank you, Robert, for having your babies up here singing with them. There's joy in this journey if you do it God's way. Whether you can sing or not, just sing. He likes a joyful noise, okay? But be the craziest of moms. When I go to the games for my sons or my daughters when they were in sports, I was the craziest of moms in the stand. Let me tell you, this little silent voice can get loud. It can get really loud. But also treat your kids sometimes at the dinner table like they're guests. Fix meals that are important to them, that they love. Don't just say that for your guests. Enjoy your kids. Allow their carefree, trusting freedom to encourage your own heart. So realizing that the fruit of the womb is a reward, not just the fruit of my womb, but all womb fruit is a reward and a gift from God. So the first thing we must really do is we have to realize that if God gives a gift, it's a great gift. Secondly, we have to realize that children are a reward from God. Now, some of us, you might have said, you just said that. Well, God knew for people like me, because just because you can have a lot of babies don't mean that you do well with raising and training a lot of babies. So we have to look at this thing and we have to see, God has given me this thing. I have to be available to raise it and to train it. And so it means that some things that were on my plate before need to get off my plate. Make no mistake, the creator of the whole world gives you a reward. You can bet that it's phenomenal. Children are a reward and they keep on giving. Now, when Ray and I started having kids, I had Rachel, and of course, 14 months later, because 5 + 9 = 14, I had Ray J. But then when Ray J was 4 months old, I got pregnant. And about 7 weeks into that pregnancy, I miscarried. And so it was very sad and very hard and very painful. You have to still deliver those babies. And so I went to church that Sunday just wanting to be refreshed, wanted to spend time with God's people. And I sat on the piano playing, and it was time for the choir in the black churches. Choirs come down and they march around and give their offering. And so the choir came down to march down and to give their offering. And one of the older women in the choir came down and she took a seat right behind me on the piano. And she put her arm around me. And I was like, she feels my pain. This lady said to me, Robin, I'm so sad about your miscarriage. But God never intended for us to breed like dogs. And she got up and she left, leaving me with her wisdom. The one thing that we have to do, ladies, older, younger, ladies, period, is we have to be able to give God's truth. And that's why you have to know what God feels about children. Because God never gave me a child or had me breed one. They were gifts from Him. They were rewards from Him. And so I fall on my knees and thank God for these children that He gave me. And I love the fact that He gave me more because I'm able to see Him in a picture of His faithfulness through my children. So secondly, I have to realize that children are a reward from God. Third thing I need to do is I must be available. If God gives you something, don't you want to be available to nurture it, to make sure that when you present it back to Him, it's great? So I have to be available. Proverbs 29:15 says, a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. So we live in this sin-cursed earth. The enemy does not want anything that can bring glory to God to remain pure or to even bring this thing that just puts the spotlight on God. And so the same way, God, we got to be available so that we can share with our kids the truth of God's word so that when they go through their stuff, and they will go through stuff, they have a solid foundation in truth. Not opinions, because that was that lady's opinion. But we have to make sure that we are women of truth. You have to be available. Be available to not only teach your children, but to train them. Be available also to be able to sit and interact with them. One of the things that I love about our home is our table is the great equalizer. Anybody can come and sit at that table, and they can have opinions that they need to share, but there's parents usually on both ends to also make sure that truth is brought into conversation. But you need to be available to sit, to interact, and listen. And then one of the things that I love to do is to give special parties for my kids. Now, my kids are like, Mommy, you don't have to do that. And I'm like, I'm not doing it for you. You know, I want to celebrate the fact that God gave you to me. And so I make sure that I celebrate these things that God has given me. Another thing that I need to do is to make sure that my children are never the center of my home. It's so easy to make your home a child-centered home. But if you want a godly Christian home, you want to make sure that you're training your children to understand the entire priority of life, of my life and their life, is Christ. And so they can't be the center of the home. Facebook is not a place to get wisdom on raising children. We got to get in God's word. It says older women train and teach these younger women not only to love their husbands, but what? To love their children. And in loving children, even as God loved us, he chastens and he rebukes those he loves. So you have to be available to chasten and to discipline your children. And that takes time to do. It takes time for you. I usually say, go meet me in my room. And then I spend time praying with me and this father of mine that's going to give me wisdom on disciplining these children well. And sometimes I've even forgotten children back in that room. I've had such a good time with the Lord. But we have to be available is what I'm trying to say. Be available to love these kids well and be available to train them. Her children rise up and call her what? Blessed. One of the most wonderful feelings I get is when my kids are away at school and they call home and they say, Mommy, my friend's going to call you because I need you to talk to them. And the phone rings later on and I pick up the phone and I hear a voice on the end of that phone and she says, Mama Mac? And I'm like, yes, sweetie. She's like, I just need some wisdom. Your children realize when they grow up that you have been a source of wisdom from them and they want all their friends to know it. So be available to train them, to build them up. The schools won't do it. And guess what? Your church won't even do it. You've got to be available to train and teach your kids. And then finally, children are life givers in training. And I love that Nancy chose to use that phrase, they're life givers in training. You guys, we should be ones imparting life into our children by giving them the truth in God's word. And in the same way, we want to leave a legacy of faithfulness of who God is to this world that so needs lights that are shining. And so I want my kids, as I teach them and as I train them, to understand the truth of God's word. You can have your rings appraised. You can go and find the blue book value of your car, but you'll never know how your children have touched others to impart life in them. And that's so important that you realize, as God gives you these kids, that they're the ones that are left to give life to a dying world. 1 John 5:12 says this, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. So we are here to impart life to our children by giving them the truth of who Christ is. I want that for you guys. Because one day, guess what? Mommy's gonna die. Daddy's gonna die. And who's gonna be left to give life to a dying world? I pray it's the life of your children and my children, not just our biological children, because I have children all over the world now, because my kids bring them home like crazy. Okay? And it's okay, because I know my home is going to feed them truth and life. And I'm going to let them go and release them all. Even if they're mine biologically or not, I'm releasing them so their lights will shine before men in such a way that men will see the works that they do, the good works that they do, and they bring glory to God. Because finally, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. A reward is what the fruit of the womb is. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with him. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate, because children are life givers in training. Can I pray for us? Can y'all just stand and link up a little bit? Father, for every lady in this room, whether we're biological parents or not, I pray that they would look and see your love for children, and that they would be women that in such a way they would say, Lord, I don't care how busy my schedule is. I need to stop and be reminded that you've given these gifts. Gifts in my neighborhood, gifts in my family. Lord, I know plenty of single moms that need me to be available for them. But Lord, may we see that you have given children as a gift. And not only that, Lord, may we also remember that one day we're not going to be here to impart life. And I pray that we have diligently given life to our children so they can pass on life to a dying world. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Robin McKelvey has been showing us the importance of investing in children in order to build God's kingdom and reflect His glory. I love the heart of this mom. She knows the value of literally bringing children into this world and then raising them to know God's ways. But she's also shown all of us, even those of us who don't have biological children, how we can be involved in discipling and training the next generation. Robin's message was based on Titus chapter 2. And what an incredible passage this is for us as women, just chock full of practical, timeless insight. I've come to appreciate this passage in an even greater way as I was writing the book, Adorned, Living Out the Beauty of the Gospel Together. And I can't wait to share insights into Titus 2 with you through the pages of this book.
And in Nancy's book, Adorned, she'll show you how Titus 2 outlines a plan for thriving in Christ, experiencing true community, and making the gospel beautiful to a watching world.
Whatever age you may be, whatever season of life you may be in, I hope that you'll let the wisdom of Titus 2 help shape and direct your life so you can live out the beauty of the gospel in even greater ways.
When you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any amount this month, we would love to send you a copy of Adorned. Simply request it when you donate at reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. On Monday, Nancy will tell us the one thing everyone needs most.
Regardless of your age, regardless of your season of life, regardless of what your circumstances may be in this season, what matters most is the gospel.
Please be back for Revive Our Hearts.
Thank you.
This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.